This is Will's Band of the Week for July 28th, 2011. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, and live in studio is Barrett.
Yep, here I am.
And I bet we sound just crystal clear.
We did an extra rigorous sound check today.
We did.
Got rid of some little noise that might have been in a couple of podcasts in the past.
Yeah.
So we didn't notice. So if it sounds crystal clear,
this should be just total high fidelity, shouldn't
it?
Yeah. I think I'd like people to listen to our podcast and then listen to, well, let's just use NPR as an example. Do you think we're at the NPR level of sound quality? I think we're pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, to the casual listener, certainly. Maybe for a real audiophile, you know, they'd find some differences.
Yeah.
But
there was one I was listening to. There's this podcast called Freakonomics. Have you ever heard it?
I've heard of it.
It's pretty good.
I haven't listened to it.
I just, when my family was taking their trip and I was trying to find podcasts for them to listen to, we somehow stumbled upon this Freakonomics thing. Now I've been listening to it and it's pretty good. One of the things I noticed is that it's like super professionally produced, and then I realized they have like a million listeners.
Yeah.
So they probably have a pretty high-tech studio. And then, of course, they have commercials too, though,
right,
which we don't have. So
we don't. We bring it to you commercial-free without interruption.
Right. And sometimes in a purely independent manner, we mention products or services that we like.
Right.
And sometimes that we don't like too, right?
Right.
I mean, not that anybody would ever say anything bad about iTunes. I mean, I don't think we've really ever done anything like that outrageous, have we?
You know what? I think we did.
Yeah, I think you're right. But well, you know, we haven't been banned yet. You know,
we haven't been banned.
Yeah. It could just disappear from iTunes sometime, right?
Yeah. That could be, you know, one of those things that could be the best thing that ever happened to us. You know, like when the Pistols got kicked off of, you know, EMI. That just really kind of launched them a little bit further. So we'd be, you know, we'd be kind of these pirate podcasters that are banned from...
Yeah. Not, you know, authorized by iTunes. Yeah. So why don't we do this? Let's tell the listeners that if we ever do get banned from iTunes, if just inexplicably the podcast is gone, then we'll make an announcement on the Twitter and Facebook pages that will tell you how to find the podcast. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
don't panic.
There are alternatives now. I don't think we're going to get kicked off, though, anytime soon.
Because we do. I mean, we both do use iTunes all the time.
Yeah, and we've got iPods. You've got an iPhone. I mean, come on.
Right.
That company owes us, if anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you can contact this podcast directly by good old-fashioned email if you'd like to. It's just willsband@yahoo.com. Just a good old-fashioned email.
Yeah.
Say, hey guys, how's it going? Just anything you want to say.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, isn't that cool? My son doesn't even use email anymore. He says, you know, why would I use email? It's kind of clumsy. I just use Facebook messaging. You know, that's what he said.
That's, wow.
Because I'll send him something on occasion. I'll say, hey, did you check your email? He'll be like, oh, I don't really check that very often. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm still an old-fashioned guy.
Wait till he gets a job. Then he'll be tied to his email.
He'll need to use email. Yeah, I think so.
You don't use your chat very much, do you?
No.
I'll see you on my GChat contacts, and
yeah,
once in a while I'll be like, hey man.
And sometimes
and
it
then
pops
you just
up.
Don't,
yeah, right.
It seems like you just aren't looking for it, or
I'm usually not
even get confused.
Every once in a while, I'll see your name pop up. We've done a few Google chats. Yeah, but I'm not often paying attention. The other thing people can do is go to our website, willsband.net, and you can post comments there. The comment little icon thing is really kind of tiny, and it's not a really well-designed website, and I haven't gone out of my way to make it look pretty or anything. But, you know, it gets the job done, right?
Right.
The episodes are there, and now there are even some videos up there. Did you see those? It worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the videos of Thurston Moore. We got a Thurston Moore video up there. We've got a Yuck video and an Unknown Mortal Orchestra video with the lights out. So it's kind of just a black video.
Cool.
With a few little lights. So yeah, check it out. Willsband.net. And we mentioned Twitter and Facebook already. And also, of course, iTunes. We are, at this point, still on iTunes. We have not been banned. Type in Will's Band of the Week, and it'll show up there and look just like all the other, some even more professional podcasts. Right?
Some, but a lot. I mean, I wonder if you took a look at all the podcasts that have been, you know, posted up on iTunes.
Yeah.
What percentage have made it to more than 90 episodes?
Yeah, we haven't even counted, but you were saying that you thought we were approaching 100, right?
Yeah, it's close. It's going to be by the end of the year.
Yeah, we got to be getting there because...
Just a couple of months, I'd say.
Yeah. All right, so I'm sure some of the listeners out there have been counting, so you can let us know if you know how many there are. But otherwise, we'll do that. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, because you can just look on iTunes and it'll be like, you know, last week was number whatever.
Does it have the numbers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how you know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't realize that. Okay. So you should go to iTunes and do that. And also subscribe. We recommend that. So, you know, the music news this week is kind of obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
The rock and roll death.
Yep.
Did you hear that? Amy Winehouse died.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all over the news.
Even my mom called me.
She called you?
Yeah. My mom likes Amy Winehouse.
Oh.
She called.
She want to comment or...
Well, she just said that, you know, that it was shocking. And we had just talked about, I think I might have mentioned on the podcast that my mom is a pretty active Facebooker. And she's put up some videos by Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix. And we're like, I just told her both of them died at 27 and Jim Morrison and Kurt Cobain all died at 27. And
right.
We were just talking about that like 2 weeks ago.
Did you see this? I printed this because I made a little note.
Oh, and there's some more.
The 27 Club. I was just, because I had heard this too. In fact, my son told me this about all these people who died at 27. You know what else happens at 27? Baseball players reach their peak.
Yeah.
Statistically.
Really?
So if you're a baseball player, you reach your peak. And if you're a rock and roller, you die, I guess.
Yeah, wow.
This is a small sample, though, you know, the 27 Rock and Roll Club. Anyway, I did a search for something like rock stars who died at age 27, and it linked me to this Wikipedia article that called this the 27 Club. So you mentioned the main ones, Hendrix, Joplin, Morrison, and Cobain. Also, Brian Jones, the old Rolling Stones guy. Pete Ham from Badfinger.
Mm-hmm.
D. Boone from the Minutemen.
I love the Minutemen. He died in a lot of these died with, you know, either self-inflicted or drugs. He died in a car accident.
And a couple from the others, I guess, from the sort of alt-rock world. Pete DeFritis from Echo and the Bunnymen, their drummer. He died at 27. Apparently that was a motorcycle accident. And Kristen Pfaff, the former bassist for Hole, died at 27. I think that was a drug one.
Yeah.
So,
what a waste.
Yeah. You know, in the Amy Winehouse case, it just, you know, when these videos started coming out, did you see that one from her in Belgrade where she was just so trash she could barely stand up?
I just
really,
read that it happened.
It's kind of hard to watch. You know, she her band starts playing and there's kind of a delay and it's like the people are in the band are kind of looking at each other, and then she stumbles, like she walks on the stage and she can't walk straight at all, and then she has to like lean against one of the stage monitors, and then she kind of pushes herself back up, and then she's just looks all disoriented, and then she walks up to one of the other musicians, I forgot if it's a guitar player or a saxophone player or something, and she like gives the guy a hug, you know, and then she stumbles over to the microphone, and then you're wondering if she's ever going to start singing, and then she starts kind of rambling, and it's just the whole thing is just really,
that sounds awful.
Yeah, it is. It's just kind of disturbing. And then so, you know, like you said, it was shocking, but it kind of wasn't surprising,
right?
So anyway, yeah, that's really sad that people, and they get so many opportunities to get help, you know, and yet somehow,
right.
With some people, it just doesn't work.
Somebody wrote today on Salon or Slate or something like that about how rock stars are just so much more susceptible to drug abuse and alcohol abuse than, say, other people that are really famous, like movie stars. Now, a movie star has got to be, you know, at least when they're working on a movie or a TV show, they've got to be on set, and they've got to be kind of coherent, you know, for potentially pretty long days.
Yeah.
And then they, a lot of times they get to go home. But, you know, a rocker is, you know, I've never gone on tour, but, you know, they're like driving in a tour bus, and then they roll into town, and you know, they've just got a lot of idle time.
Yeah, they've
and
got
meeting people that want to do nothing more, and you know, then like get stoned with one of these rockers that they admire, and
right.
I don't know how you could handle that if you were trying to give up drugs. That would be super hard.
Yeah, and these, like you said, they're traveling around, and they've got theoretically like nothing to do except for like the 2 hours of work in the day that they might do, right?
Right.
Maybe three, if you count, like, you know, setting up, sound check, having to be there a few minutes beforehand. But you're talking about 3 hours of work, and then the rest, you got to kill the time somehow.
Right.
And you'd have to be, for somebody who's really young, they're probably not real good at, like, killing time in a productive way. Whereas right. if people our age, you know, I could see, like, I'd be running a lot, I'd be sightseeing, I'd be doing, like, maybe photography, or just, I mean, I'd be seeing the sights right. of where I was going and stuff. But, you know, a lot of 20-year-olds don't think that way.
Right.
So, that who knows if this was the case, you know, with Amy Winehouse. I think she had a history dating way back to a very young age. Like, when she was, like, 13, she got kicked out of school for drinking or something. I
wow.
mean, I think it really... So, all right.
Yeah.
Yep. What else are you going to say, you know? She only had, like, a couple albums, right? I didn't have them, and I didn't really listen to her at all, but, you know...
I was... You know, she had that one song, ironically, that Rehab song,
mm-hmm.
Which, in hindsight, might have been kind of a cry for help, and everybody's like, yeah, that's awesome.
Right. It was
yeah,
something
I'm not
about...
going to rehab. Ha ha.
Yeah.
No way.
That's...
It's like,
yeah,
it's wow.
Eerie. Yeah.
So we're all kind of complicit in that a little bit, and... You know, in singers like that, people do kind of, you know, look at the drug abuse and the rehab and the, you know, pictures in the tabloids of them looking like crap. And it's all just part of the rock and roll lifestyle. So being like, yeah, that's authentic.
Yeah, right.
She's living it. She's real.
She looks authentically horrible.
You know, that's
yeah.
that's just terrible.
Yeah.
So
yep.
let's celebrate rockers who are... good people.
I agree. Let's do that.
Can we think of any?
Oh, I'm sure there are some out there.
Yeah.
Our friend Jason, let's mention him. He's about
yeah.
to get married, right?
Jason's going to get married.
And he's a good guy in the rock and roll world.
He's a good guy. Mm-hmm.
It's coming up really soon, right?
Yeah, it's August 6th.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we are like
Jason and
verge.
Connie getting married on August 6th.
Congratulations
guys, and this will be kind of a test. We can see if you know, if you actually are listening. I know that Jason's a pretty good listener, but if he skips a few weeks here and there, and this
yeah.
is one of the ones that he skips, it'll be super obvious.
So we won't say anything to him.
If you don't like, if you don't mention it, then we'll just know.
Anxious to hear the crowd reaction.
Hey, it's Brewer Highlights that just came on.
Miller Park.
How that? Did you do that?
Crowd of over 39,000 on hand tonight.
I don't know. They just came on. Here we go. Let's see what happens.
Oh, what's going on?
We're going to watch the game for a minute.
Two strikes
here.
On Lucroy, and that
bounces
in.
Away. Oh, and there's nobody on base.
97 on the gun for Samardzija.
Well, it's still 3-2.
Yeah.
Thank you to the Brewer, whatever network that is. I think the TV network broadcast over the internet. Yeah. So, so this will be a test because we won't say anything to Jason, and then, you know, he's either going to hear it and be shocked, or he won't hear it. And there's my son who just got back from a movie. How was the movie, Reese?
It was okay.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, Reese.
You know when you watch a baseball game, you listen?
Yeah.
Any descriptions or accounts of this game may not be rebroadcast without the express written consent of the Milwaukee Brewers and Major League Baseball.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, the listeners better not take, like, chop that little piece of audio from our podcast and reproduce it.
But we just reproduced it, right?
But I'm more worried about our listeners, like,
yeah, we can take the heat. Like, yeah, we'll take the heat.
Exactly. But if, you know, if one of our listeners were to just innocently say, hey, that was cool when they had that little baseball check-in thing, and if they reproduced it, I mean, Major League Baseball would be all over them. I mean, right, the lawsuit would probably come the next day, probably, I would think.
Yeah,
it'd probably be there'd be a sheriff at your door.
Well, they're going to come hard on us, but...
Like you said, we take the heat because we're here for the listeners.
Yeah, we've each done
we
done
do what
time.
It takes. Yeah, if we have to go, you know, get locked up for a day or two in the name of rock and roll,
it's nothing to me.
Nah, it's you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, we'll come up with some other names, people besides Jason who are good people in the world of rock and roll. You know, I'm sure there's some others out there. Should we talk about music now?
Yeah, let's do that.
So I've got a couple. I've got a new band and kind of an established band to mention this
one. Okay.
Okay. So let's start with a new band. They're kind of a punk rockish band. You know, there's so many, maybe I told you that my dad, he's a classical music fan, but he joined E-Music because they have enough classical that you can get at a reasonable price and find some kind of obscure stuff. And so, mm-hmm, you know, he thinks it's worthwhile. Well, he was searching something on E-Music once, and he said to me, he said, they described this music as alternative punk. And he thought that was the weirdest description. You know, it's like, what is that? And I said, and then I sort of gave him the, you know, the little speech about the history of how these musical genres developed and how, you know, there was punk rock and then there was alternative because it was an alternative to something else, but now it's not really alternative anymore, but it gets called alternative because it's, you know, just kind of the name just kind of gets carried over, right?
Right.
And, but there aren't that many things that I listen to these days where you could really say that's punk, you know?
Right.
It's like punk rock, right? I mean, still to me, punk rock is the Sex Pistols and the Ramones and, mm-hmm, and you know, all that stuff from like late 70s to early 80s. And there isn't much since then that really, I don't know, in my mind, that stuff doesn't come out where you say that's punk rock, you know? But this band called Ice Age from Denmark, they're kind of punk rock. I mean, I think they get described sort of as punk, and I think they kind of are. So let's just play a little bit and let the listeners decide. We'll see what Barrett thinks, too. The album is called New Brigade, and we're going to play track 2 called White Rune.
Yeah, I like that. I'd say that's a good description of it, too.
Ice Age from Denmark.
It's kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know, somewhere around 81 or 82 and in there is when, like, American hardcore,
yeah,
out of, like, D.C. and L.A. and stuff changed what people thought punk rock was. But, you know, this sounds more like kind of like Wire or something.
Yeah. You
know, a little bit before Black Flag and Dead Kennedys and Social... I was going to say Social Distortion. That's not a good example, though. Minor Threat and whatever. So,
and yeah, it's a little bit discordant, and it's one of those things where you listen to it a few times, and then the melodies creep in a little bit more. I think I say that about everything I listen to, don't I? But anyway, it sort of applies here.
You say that it's discordant, and then melodies creep into everything?
I don't say discordant, but I always say that when you listen to it more, you absorb it, because that's like the nature of listening to music. You know? So it's kind of a generic remark. But this is 12 songs and 24 minutes and 21 seconds total. So,
wow. So each one is, let's do the math here.
Yeah, about
a couple minutes.
About 2 minutes apiece. Yep. So here's another one. It's called Broken Bone.
This Ice Age. I'm going to make some ill-informed observations about Denmark based on my wife's having been there just a couple weeks ago.
All right.
You know, I told you that she went to Sweden and
right.
We stayed in a little town called Halmstad, and you know, she just kind of hung around the downtown and also hung out in the country and just had a really nice time, but noticed about Sweden that people drove smaller cars, a lot of Volvos and German cars like BMWs and Audis.
Mm-hmm.
Rode a lot of bikes. Things were very clean, and people were very polite and happy.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent the last couple of days in Denmark, maybe 3 days, outside of Copenhagen,
mm-hmm.
and noticed immediately that it just felt more American, and like in some ways that were displeasing, in some ways that were kind of cool. Like there were in Sweden where she was, there was just no billboards. You drive down the highway, they didn't have any billboards. You get to Denmark and that's changed. Cars got bigger, places got dirtier, and people just got a little bit more American seeming. So I hope we have some Danish listeners that could, maybe set us straight, because as I said, that opinion is completely ill-informed and ill-formed at the same time. Let me have it. I don't think I should say things about places I haven't been. But
well, that's pretty good information. If the information, if it comes from your wife, you know, I guess it's okay.
Pretty solid.
Yeah.
But she, you know, I think she liked Denmark, and if we were going to go someplace on a vacation, that would be on the short list.
Yeah, I'd love to visit that part of the world.
Yeah.
Even after talking to your wife about Sweden, and I think I was saying this to you, or at least to her, that I'm kind of intimidated being not multilingual. that I'm just such an English speaking nerd, you know, that it's kind of intimidating to think of going to countries where you can't speak their language at all, and you don't want to sort of sound like an idiot by expecting everybody to speak English. But she was saying that in that area, in Sweden in particular, that just about everybody speaks English. So probably if you have the right attitude, you don't act like an obnoxious tourist.
Right.
They'll be nice to you, and you can get by just fine.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of cool. That made me think, yeah, maybe I would do this. You know?
I really don't think, I mean, I feel the same way, and you kind of get kind of sheepish about being an American in a foreign country, and you don't want to be the ugly American, you know, the loud, obnoxious guy with the Bermuda shorts and yelling at everybody, asking them for this and that, and you expect things to be the way you want them.
Right.
But I don't know how true that stereotype is anymore. First of all, the people that usually apply those sorts of, you know, ideas to don't travel very much.
You know? Right. Yeah, you think.
They'll go to Branson or something, right?
Right.
Not Brussels.
Right.
And, you know, if those same Europeans, if they lived here and we grew up there, then they'd be the ass wipes. You know, it's just,
yeah.
It's not that we have some sort of a, you know, shortcomings. It's just, you know,
we're not all bad.
We're not all bad.
All of us Americans, we're trying to enhance the reputation of Americans worldwide with this podcast, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you're listening to this from Japan or Germany or Australia, you know, we want you to think that we're actually decent people, even though we're Americans.
Right.
Right. Hopefully.
I think we come across that way.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Other than being just absolute music snobs, but other than that, we're okay. Yeah. Let's play one more. I would like to play one more by Ice Age, our Denmark band of the week. And this one's called Never Return. There's that little detuning thing he's doing on the guitar,
uh-huh.
and I think it's kind of cool because it sounds like he's just beating on the guitar, which like really fits the music.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
you just picture a guy. You don't picture a guy like lightly strumming his guitar. You picture a guy like he's like pounding.
Right.
You'd think he'd like break a lot of strings.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, I bet they're pretty dynamic live. They don't seem like a band that would just stand there. You know. So there you go. Some punk rock for you.
Yeah. Is this their first album?
This is their first album, yeah. I think it's the first, like, anybody's ever heard of them. So, yeah. Ice Age. And I think Barrett has, like, a musical, you know, one of his, like, academic, really cool music things.
No, it's not academic.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Like, it's going to be really good. So why don't we do my other...
Turning the pressure up on
me. I'm going to do my kind of insignificant thing, but keep listening because, you know, Barrett's got something up his sleeve here. It's another one of those Well, like I said, you know, kind of an academic thing. You're going to educate us on
that's what we call in the radio business and the podcasting business, a teaser.
Exactly. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Another thing you got to remember is that when you give the teasers, you have to be able to deliver on what you've promised.
You can't have the content itself be worse than the teaser.
I'm kind of worried about that.
Like movies that have where the preview is better than the movie. The 2.5 minutes is the best part of it.
You see what I'm saying, though? You set the bar.
Yeah, I did. I put the pressure on, but I know you're up to it. I know that you can do it, and I'm not worried at all. So, but before we talk about Barrett's historical thing, we're going to talk about the new album by the Arctic Monkeys. I just thought it'd be worth mentioning this because I think it's interesting when a band, when you kind of think they're dead, and then they kind of say, wait, no, we're not quite dead yet.
Right.
And they put this album out at... It's called Suck It and See. So now you would think with that title, it'd be really bratty and punky or whatever, right?
Right.
But it's kind of moody and melodic and kind of different for the Arctic Monkeys. And I would think that maybe some of their fans would be like, well, this just really isn't the Arctic Monkeys. Like my son Grant, he said, it doesn't really sound like the Arctic Monkeys. You know, yeah. I don't think he really dislikes it, but he just, you know, but that's not really the Arctic Monkeys, you know. But the reviews have been pretty good, so I'm sure there are fans that are like, well, you know, I don't like this, but I kind of like it. So
let's hear one.
We're going to just start off with the first track. It's called She's Thunderstorms.
She's thunderstorms lying on her front up against the wall. She's thunderstorms.
Yeah, I like that. But I like them in general, you know. I think, well, I'll talk about them in general if you want to make some more specific comments about this new one and about them. But
well, I think I've never really been a big fan of theirs. And so actually, this is my favorite album that they've done. And maybe it's just because I tend to go for this sort of more melodic stuff where they're... well, the first album was real kind of power pop dancey a little bit, right?
Right.
And then they, I think this is their fourth one, if I'm remembering right. And then they kind of, I don't know, they tried little different things and got pretty good reviews with just about all the albums they've done, I think. I looked at Metacritic and they're all like pretty solid. Like,
right.
And one of them, I know my son was mentioning, I think maybe the last one he was saying is really sort of dark. And
I only know two other ones. There's Favorite Worst Nightmare and then their first one.
Yeah.
Like whatever they say about me is something. Yeah. Whatever you heard about me is wrong or something.
Right. Yeah. you missed one. It was called Humbug from 2009.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the dark one, I think. But, yeah, so I think, like, about half the songs on this new one are, you know, are more like the old power poppy style, and half of them are more of the moody thing, which is sort of like the track we just played.
Right.
So why don't we play one more? This is called The Hellcat Spangled Sha-La-La-La. You know, some bands, they, you know, their first album is the power poppy thing, and then they go for the more moody thing, and it completely backfires.
Right.
So I got to give them credit, because I think they've done it without backfiring.
Yeah.
Like, remember Block Party? You know, they had the super punchy dance album, and everybody loved it. And then they came out with kind of a more moody thing, and I remember kind of liking it at first, but then it was kind of like it just didn't wear that well, and then just people just lost interest.
Is that all they did then?
Yeah, then they had a couple more albums,
really?
and they were like weird, like wild, crazy dance music stuff that, like, you know, I think they made a good effort of it, but maybe we've talked about this before. It's kind of hard when you establish your sound and you get really popular for that sound on, like, your first album when you kind of get your break, right? And right. Then what do you do next? You can't do something that sounds exactly like the first one, or people will just say, well,
right,
that's just like the first one. And you can't change the style too much, or they'll say, well, that doesn't capture the brilliance of the first one.
Right.
This is a predicament from an artistic standpoint.
Two bands that fell into that are Interpol and Franz Ferdinand, I think.
Yep.
They both had a sound that was unbelievably popular when they came out, and they just, you know.
I think Interpol just kind of gradually kind of morphed into just less exciting with each album, kind of. But there's still enough there that
there's
I'm still
of
kind
that,
of intrigued.
Yeah.
But
and there's also some of people that buy Interpol albums don't buy the fourth album by a lot of bands.
Yeah. Came,
you know what I mean?
They're looking for
something
different.
Else.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of that sucks. But that's kind of what it is. But I did hear that last one, and I didn't like it. So I'm kind of
the latest Interpol.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't. I thought it was just too slow. And if you're going to be Interpol and be slow, then it better be pretty darn, you know, moody and cool or something, but it just didn't
quite work.
Yeah. So how about one more?
All right.
The title track. This is the Arctic Monkeys, and it's called Suck It and See.
Your love is like a studded leather headlock. Your kiss, it could put creases in the rain. You're rarer than a can of dandelion and burdock. And those other girls are just post-mix lemonade.
Offensively, and maybe his glove.
Oh, more Brewer highlights.
What's the difference.
All right.
Defensively.
What's going on? Axford's in there.
Here's the
Axe man. Strike. That was a bit high, but right down the center. Still have a 3-2 Axford lead.
They're trying to close it out.
Got one out here.
Is this going to jinx us? Because we're watching the game here on the podcast.
Probably.
97.
That one was a pretty far inside. Better to back away.
Late September.
Any kids out there listening?
Yeah,
that might want to get into podcasting. Let us tell you this: that you should probably refrain from commenting on baseball games or football games, or wherever you're from, whatever the prevailing sport is, cricket or hurling, or
that'll be like,
don't comment on live games because we're not watching later.
The drama of just us experiencing this, that could be kind of exciting for the listeners. I think
that's true. Think? Like those YouTube things of that goal by Donovan in the World Cup,
sort
of those reactions.
Oh, right, right. You'd in the bars and stuff.
So it could be something like that. We could be creating something like that.
Yeah. That you're right.
You know,
it could be an exciting moment. There could be like audio clips up on the internet of Will and Barrett's reaction when Ryan Braun hit the home run.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. What if we were broadcasting like when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world in the 54? Was it 51? 51 series, whatever.
Or like
when the. Yeah.
Hank Aaron's 715th or something.
Yeah. When you're watching that live.
Yeah.
That would be famous.
It'd be totally cool. It would be good. Yeah. We'd get a lot more listeners. We need to try to do that. So, okay, there you go. The Arctic Monkeys and a new album that I think is worthy. So I'm giving it the podcast approval, the stamp, the seal of approval. That's what it is.
Yeah. I'll give that the tentative seal of approval.
All right.
On liking what I heard.
Good, and let's take a trip down memory lane, compliments of Barrett. So what do we got?
Well, I did this little. I'm gonna lead the listeners through the career of Terry Hall, who is most famous for being the lead singer of the Specials, but he's been around for a long time. He's done a lot of things that few people have paid much attention to. Fewer and fewer over the years. But the idea was sort of born out of not listening to anything new at all. So I had to come up with something to talk about so that I could come here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I don't want to just sit here and not have anything to say. So that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
So I'm going to start with some early stuff. I'm going to do it chronologically and take you up till, you know.
So we really need theme music here. Like when we say in dramatic fashion, we're going to take you through the career of Terry Hall. Yeah. There needs to be, like, I'm sorry that we don't have the music for you.
But, yeah.
So let's connect your iPhone that has all the music on, right? Let's see if this works.
Yep.
I think somebody's calling you. Or did
no,
it just,
that's the little, when you plug it in, it gives a little.
Look, your charge is kind of low. That green thing is.
It was
kind of
low. Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's not red.
Yeah.
And now it's charging, too, and you can use it, and it's charging. So
look, my slam dunk video showed up on here.
Oh, Ray, we're talking about videos earlier that you put up on the website. You got to put that one up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Air will.
It is.
You could have shoved a nickel or at least a dime. A dime for sure. Uh-huh. Possibly a nickel under your foot.
Yeah.
You were so
I was up
high.
There. Yeah. Absolutely. What I always like tell my next door neighbor, I tell him, this one's going to be with authority. That's my goal. You got to throw them down with authority.
That was very authoritative.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
Doubt about that.
That was the goal. Yeah. I don't think there was any doubt. So let's see. We don't need your photos
Should we talk about how high the basket was or just
let's just say it's an adjustable hoop that my kids have. And well,
may or
it's
might,
not really
may
my
not
kids.
Have been at regulation height.
It may or may not have been. And I have no comment on that. But
it looked like it was about 6.5 feet.
Let's just say there is an adjustment on the hoop. You can raise and lower it. I won't purport to be able to do an authoritative slam dunk on a regulation hoop. So,
all right.
Truth in advertising. All right, let's see. Here's the music. Now, it's all yours.
Commandeer the...
yeah. Here, I'll back off a little.
We'll have to edit some of this out here. So, Terry Hall was born in Coventry in 1959 on March 19th. I always know that because it's the day after my birthday. So I was born the day before Terry Hall turned 7. In case you're ever... Maybe that'll come up
know.
As a trivia question
it
someday.
It could, yeah.
But, yeah, so he was 20 years old when the Specials put out their first album, simply titled The Specials. And were you a fan of the Specials?
Not a big fan, but kind of like, you know, they're just one of those bands out there that I was aware of. I don't think I had their albums.
It seems that the more years go by, the more people profess to really like them. And speaking of Amy Winehouse, she did a couple of Specials covers. Not on her album that I'm aware of. I don't know the album, but I've just heard them. You know, people had recordings like, well, what is that? And they told me it was Amy Winehouse. So there's your
that ties
delayed
in,
segue.
Yeah, very, very clean tie-in, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So their first album came out in 79, the next one a year later. First one, massively more popular than the second one. Second one, I actually like it a little bit better.
That was called More Specials.
More Specials,
yeah,
right.
Because not
one was
title.
Not enough.
Yeah.
And I'll play what I think is kind of an interesting song that shows some of the progress they made from their first. Their first was just straight up second wave ska that sounded like late 60s ska out of Jamaica with just a little bit more modern. And a year later, Jerry Dammers, the keyboard player and producer, came up with a whole different sound. Reminiscent of the first, but a little bit different. And Terry Hall is singing, as always. And this one is called Stereotypes.
Thank you. they don't want to go home till his nicotine fingers are stuck down his throat.
So I've been a fan of this for so many years that are you in a buzz?
Something's buzzing. We must solve this buzz problem.
It's gone.
No more buzz.
So I've been a fan of this for so many years. I can't listen to it objectively and know what it sounds like.
Well, you know what? Listener. I have never heard that. It's interesting because it's like something that like I'm sure that I've never heard that song before.
Yeah.
And it sounds just totally like just something different, you know,
right.
Which makes me think, and I don't want to kill your chronological order here, but is there something from the first album that I would know?
Let's see.
Did the Specials have like, I don't know if they had any actual hits.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably, I don't know if you would call it a hit, but Monkey Man, maybe. Check this out.
Big Monkey Man.
Doing my first fade on the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
He did it well, didn't he? Yeah, I don't think I recognize that.
That's
but
good
it bass sounds
line in there, huh?
You know, yeah. It you know, it sounds like kind of like what I would think the Specials should sound like.
Right.
But you know, it seems like a band that that, you know, there ought to be a song or two that I would know. Anyway, interesting.
Yeah. So they were around for just a couple of years, were massively popular, and have grown in popularity since. I should say they're, qualify that, really popular in the UK. And here, you know, among college kids. Remember college rock?
Was literally like
if you had an older brother or whatever in college.
Yeah.
He would hear these things, or she. But, you know, there wasn't this industry that there is today where younger kids hear all the stuff that we listen to.
They couldn't get a Pitchfork review.
No, they couldn't. And, some kids did, I'm sure, but it was different. Anyway, so that was a couple of years. And at the height of their popularity, they released a song called Ghost Town. That might actually be one that you know. But Terry Hall, at that point, left the band with two members and formed a band called Fun Boy 3. Are you familiar with them?
I remember them. Yep.
Them you remember. And a lot of people remember them based mostly on the name. And it's a silly name. And they kind of think of them as a bit of a novelty band. You know, like you might throw them in a conversation with Haircut 100 or something. You know, just like a silly, lightweight, nothing of a band. But that couldn't be further from the truth, if you ask me. I'm going to play something from their second album, which came out in 1983. So I'm going to play a song of theirs called Things We Do.
lectures, drive clapped out old Porsches. Do sales girls at Tesco's wear boots number 7? Do you eat digestives at 11:30? Do you act your age or the size of your shoes? Has a man got to do what a man's got to do? The things we do.
That's good. That's something I never got around to listening to back in 1983.
And there is a song on here. You might recognize the name of this one.
Yeah, I do.
Our Lips Are Sealed. He actually wrote that with Jane Wiedlin from the Go-Go's, who'd had a hit with it the year before. But it's one of the very few songs that I'm aware of that he wrote. I mean, he's really kind of an unlikely guy to have a long career because he doesn't have a great voice. He's just got sort of an expressionless persona about him. He doesn't play an instrument. He doesn't write music.
Wow.
But yet he's managed to stick around for, 32 years now. Although his output's very sporadic now. So I feel like this is so self-indulgent, but I'm going to keep moving along.
Let's do it. Now, tell me if this trivia is right or not. Is Funboy 3 the band that had a member from the Talking Heads?
No, but David Byrne produced that last album.
Okay, maybe
they only
that was...
did two, and he produced Waiting, which came out in 2003.
Okay, so I wasn't totally off base.
Yeah,
on
you were
the Talking
kind of
Heads.
On there.
What was?
They also had Bananarama did some background vocals, and then there was
Bananarama.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there's the connection with the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool. That's solid 80s credibility
there. That's some good cred he had.
Absolutely.
He left that band in about 2005, a couple of years after he left Funboy 3, teamed up with a couple of guys and formed a band called The Color Field. And
I remember that band name, too.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I heard him or not.
You know, one thing that he does a lot of covers. I'm going to play one. It's a Roaches cover called, the band The Roaches?
I remember them, yep.
This one's called The Hammond Song from The Color Fields of Virgins and Philistines. The year was 1985. That was quite a year.
About us as far.
So by this time, he'd lost any of the ska.
Yeah, there's no ska in there at all.
Right.
But like you said, he may not be like just like an outwardly remarkable singer or anything like that, but he seems to have pretty good taste.
He's got good taste.
Yeah, like
right.
A lot of being a musician is just sort of the, you know, editorial selection, right?
Right. Yeah. He's surrounded himself with talent, and he's got, I think, good taste, as you said. Even though his voice is kind of expressionless, and
now when did
this? This one is from 1985.
So this is a little, you know,
gripe
I have with the iTunes
because it says 2008
data.
On there.
Yeah, because the CD is probably a reissue or something, right?
Yeah,
or whatever. Or the CD.
I don't know that it was out before then.
I mean, I can understand why they. You know, the date is like when the CD came out, but right. I'm a lot more interested in when the music actually came out.
Yeah, there's probably a way to, like, I could change that myself, right?
I've done that on most of mine.
I should do that.
All you have to do, the best way I've found is to just go to Amazon, find it on Amazon, and they usually have on the main, you know, page of the album, it'll say original release date, and then you just right. change the date on your... on your MP3s.
While we're talking about iTunes stuff, I imported this. Apparently, I had it sorted by date added, most recent, which is a, you know, that's just a way to get your new stuff up on the top. But now you can't resort it.
Oh, there's a trick. There's a trick. I know how to do. You know how you do that?
How?
You are you copying it from a playlist on iTunes?
No, I'm just dragging it from my music, general music folder.
Okay.
over to your
iPhone or whatever that's connected.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this might solve it. Have your music in the order that you like it on your iTunes list, and then click the music on your iPhone. You know, like right here, and then. At least when I do it with a playlist, there's this command called copy to play order, and then it makes the order correct. It makes the order the same as the playlist on your computer.
Right.
Instead of like the order that you dragged it over. So I don't know. That might be a key to...
Yeah.
This is important stuff.
This segment brought to you by the Geek Squad.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want your tracks to be like backwards,
no, not
though,
at all.
Right? Like, you want to listen to your albums in the order that the artist wanted you to listen
right.
to, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like you should be able to just simply sort it by, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Clicking on here.
But, you should be able to, yeah.
But
yeah.
you can't.
Well, and I don't think Terry Hall would appreciate that you're listening to his music backwards. I mean, I think
I just put this on my phone to do it.
To
like,
bring it over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to sort all the new stuff to the top.
Yeah.
And then put it on my phone upside down, which is, not the way that he would have wanted.
So are we going to continue now? Like, what did he do next? Now, we're only up to 85.
We're up to 85?
He's on his third band now.
He did 75% of his stuff, I'd say, between 79 and 85. And that really slowed down. He did some stuff with Dave Stewart, his band called Vegas. He did another Colorfield album before that.
Dave Stewart, the Eurythmics guy?
Yeah, okay. Something with him.
Yep.
And then some solo stuff. He recorded with the Dub Pistols. You know, remember them?
No.
I can't remember who's in that. But... he's just mostly lately kind of guesting on people's stuff, and I brought a couple of his solo albums here, but I think I've subjected the listeners to enough. I'll just say that his second solo, he's got the last song on there is a cover of I Saw the Light by
Todd Rundgren. That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a super
it's
good
a cool song.
He does a really faithful rendition of that.
Isn't he? That's an interesting artist. Todd Rundgren.
Yeah.
It's like, because he's done some of the really, like, coolest stuff and some of the, like, just terrible stuff.
Right.
You know, it's really erratic.
Right. Like, his early stuff with the Nas. Have you heard that?
I don't think I've heard
like
that.
Like, from the 60s? That's really cool. And then...
And then for a while, he was a singer for the Cars. Did you hear about
really?
That?
Like in the 90s?
No, in like 5 years ago. It's bizarre.
That's weird.
So what year is this one from? This is...
That's probably from 98 or something, 90.
It's called Laugh.
Yeah.
The...
So he's got one called Laugh and one called Home. But, yep, he's
cool. That's good.
Still around. Lo, these 32 years later.
Good, Terry good.
Hall.
Terry Hall, there you go. There's a... Now, that I think it was better than the promo that we did earlier in the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah, it was.
And they, yeah. He's actually got an album called, like, The Best of Terry Hall, and it goes through the Specials, Fun Boy 3, Color Field, Vegas, these other things, and the solo stuff, all of it together.
So, so the listeners could get that, but it wouldn't be, like, the custom treatment that you gave it.
Right. Yeah, that then you'd... Well, you could listen. You could read the liner notes. Here we got the Brewers score putting up, and they
held them off. They won the game.
Yep. They won.
Yeah, that's good.
They beat Ryan Dempster. Ryan Dempster always pitches like, you know, Walter Johnson when he's pitching against the Brewers. He's 15-3 with a 2.5 ERA
against the Brewers
career.
Oh man,
that's insane.
You know, baseball is so statistic. You know. Sensitive, right? I mean, and I think a lot of it is just total randomness, you know?
Right.
It could just be total luck, you know? He just happened to, because there are all these arbitrary, they could do like, you know, some guy's record on Tuesdays or something, and some guy's record in night versus day or
right.
You know, home versus away or, you know, artificial turf or whatever, you know? And I think most of it is just pure randomness.
Right.
Some of it could be, you know, there could be some real reason
There's
for
something
it.
To this one though. I mean, like
15-3 is pretty significant. I guess. Yeah.
And
I mean, you know,
like, what if one guy hits a home run like 20% of the time he faces a pitcher? I mean, there's like something about that specific matchup.
Yeah, there could be. I mean, it could be something about the, you know, the power hitter versus the contact hitter versus the whatever, you know.
But your thing about the, you know, like, ooh, and Wednesday afternoon games on the road, the Brewers are 2-6, like,
right? Yeah,
that's meaningless.
I think that luck is a, you know, sort of an underrated or, you know, underreported factor in sports. Yeah. People don't want to admit it because when your team wins, you want to feel like, well, they deserved it, they won it, they earned it, whatever. And when they lose, you want to be mad at them because they screwed up or whatever.
Right.
But like I was listening to a podcast talking about the U.S. women's soccer team and losing in the final. And there are all these people that are pissed off. They said, they choked, you know, they whatever. And these guys were saying, you know, that the luck was a huge factor because they had all these shots on goal that just didn't go in.
Right.
You know, and some of that is just, you know, you can't aim the ball with precision, right? So sometimes it's going to go in and sometimes it's not. But usually if you get, like, as many shots on goal as they had, you'd usually have more of them going in.
Right.
And, you know, and the goal they got scored against to tie the game was kind of this odd deflection. I mean, that's just, you know, there's a lot of randomness in sports.
Right.
So I'm glad we're talking about this because I'm sure all the music podcast listeners are very interested.
we're Renaissance men. We like music and sports.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are. We're so well-rounded. So I guess, have we come up to the, as far as we are going to come with the career of Terry Hall? Like, has he done anything in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years? You heard anything?
Yeah, he did a thing. Actually, might have it here. He did this thing. It's like Terry Hall and Mushtaq or something, where it's this Middle Eastern sounding music. My wife really likes it, and that's the first thing he's done that I don't really care much for.
Hmm.
So I don't have it on my phone for that reason. I think it's on her phone. She really digs it.
So maybe he's reached the point in his career where he can kind of just do whatever he feels.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't that be kind of nice? You know, not many musicians get to that point where you're at least comfortable enough financially that you don't feel the pressure, you know, to try to come up with a hit.
Right.
And you can just sort of experiment around. Maybe he's not. I mean, that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Like how much money would he have made off those old Specials albums? And, you know, of course, you never know how somebody saves their money if they make a lot of money when they're young.
Right.
And not to mention, we don't really know.
He's probably okay, doing okay.
Well, you'd think, but yeah, like you said, it's, you never know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well,
Terry Hall.
That is, yeah, that's very good. Man, look how long we've been going. This is, well, you know what? It's okay. It's like we've been giving bonus content.
Yeah.
Because there's no podcast next week.
Thanks, everybody, for, oh, there isn't?
We're I'm gone. Remember, this was going to be like, if you want to throw one up there, I'll show you how.
Right.
You could just have Barrett kind of rambling on, you know.
I'll just leave my phone number on the website. If somebody wants to talk to me, you can just call me.
You could do that, yeah. Just like a real personal touch.
Yeah.
So I'm gone next week, and then the week after, we ought to be able to squeeze in a podcast before I'm gone again the week after that.
Wow.
Yeah, for some reason, the family vacations have kind of concentrated in August. So, yeah, that's all. Let's just leave it at that, because all right. We've said enough. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And I think it's time to sign off, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
All right, night.